wrote a love for truth on the board. I just feel like the Lord's been giving me a few things this week about this subject. I was thinking about truth and the value of it. We live in an atmosphere today and in a country today that truth doesn't really seem very valuable. I hear talk shows sometimes and things from time to time. I don't listen to them a lot, but when you do, almost everything there is, well, what do you think? What do you think? Call in and tell us what you think. You know, it's valuable for us to communicate, isn't it? But there's something about truth that is so valuable to us today. And I pray that the Lord would just be with us today, that we could be reminded that, you know, there is more than just our attitude toward what happened, our thought about what happens, our ideas and all of those things, because we're told in the Bible that we know the heavens are a long ways above us, and the Lord tells us that His thoughts are as far above our thoughts as the heavens are the earth. And so He has things He wants to teach us, and the only way we can do that is to open up our hearts and minds to the Lord and to His Word and to His thoughts, and to get to know Him, that we might know truth and that we might walk with Him. I think about, I'm going to read a number of scriptures this morning and try to glean from this some things that the scriptures tell us about truth. Third John, the third and fourth verse says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You know, even the words that he would pen there, saying, "even as thou walkest in the truth," that almost raises the hackles of people today, doesn't it? I want to think about those things this morning. I want to think about God's thoughts about truth. Do you know there is some things that are the truth? There are some things that happened that the truth is they happened a certain way. There are many things that God wrote that it's not up to us to try to determine each one of us what we think it means. The truth is that what God said, He meant a certain way. Do we believe that this morning? I believe that God said some things He meant, and He said them like He meant them. And He, by His Spirit, wants to enable us to understand truth. Now, what's valuable about truth? What is valuable? Have you ever been lied to this morning? I would say all of us have been lied to. If you're more than 3 years old, you've probably been lied to. Well, you know, when you base your thoughts, your ideas, when you base where you're going on something that was told you that's not true, anything can happen, can't it? And so we find that today there is a lot of that. There is a way that seems to go a certain place, and yet it's not true. It doesn't take you there. And I want us to think this morning about loving the truth. John said here, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Truth is very valuable. If we think that we're heading to Springfield, but we go south to Dallas, it really doesn't matter how much we think that. We're not going to Springfield. We're going to Dallas. And this morning, I want us to think about those things God wants to take us to heaven. The Lord wants to bless our lives with peace and joy. He wants to bless our homes with strength. He wants to bless our lives with dignity, with, I'll say, honor. I don't mean honor in the sense of man-made glorifying another man, but I'm saying respect. Our life should have respect, and the Lord wants it to be that way. And He's given us many, many things to teach us that way. We live in a society that has mixed up the things that God so clearly and plainly taught us. And we see the result of many, many children being raised in atmospheres where when you try to train and teach, there's hardly a basis there to work from. Because attention levels, because misconceptions, because lacks, glaring lacks are there. Folks, it is a great service to us that the Lord has given us some things of truth and value that when we build our lives on them, they build strong families. Those things build strong people. They bring people at peace with God. People at peace with one another. People that have peace in their lives and in their souls. People that treat their neighbors fair, kind, godly, honestly. In this present world, do we believe that this morning? What a treasure it is for us to know people like that. You know, this morning, the Lord is very interested in that. And we read over in Proverbs 23:23, it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Truth is valuable this morning. It's not just up to our every whim and thought and desire. But truth is something that we really don't have anything to do with. It is the way it is. We can believe it. We cannot believe it. It doesn't change it at all. It only changes us. And so this morning, the Lord help us today that we can see truth for what it is. The scripture tells us, buy the truth and sell it not. Pilate said, what is truth? That's been a question for centuries. What is truth? Well, truth to one thing is different than truth to another. I understand people see things from different ways, but do you know this morning there are truths that are everlasting? The truths that God set in motion that sets this earth on its axis and things turn and all that happens in our solar system and all the things that God has done, those things are done in truth. The best we can do is find out how they operate and find out what it is that really is, because if we believe the world's flat, it doesn't change anything except us, does it? So we want to understand, Lord, what is truth this morning? I will tell you, I want to read a couple of things in John 18 and 37 and 38. We just want to start here and ask the Lord to guide us and help us. John 18 and 37 says, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. I want to skip on over to John, or back to the 14th chapter and the 5th and 6th verse, where Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you know that's the truth? That's something that until we get a hold of that, we don't know what to do. And so we do the best we can. We gather from what our parents have told us, from the elements all around us in life, and we start making decisions, and we start doing that. But Jesus said something different. He told Thomas, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know what Jesus was talking about? What was he talking about? Was he talking about his physical body? Was he talking about, what was he speaking of? I believe it was everything that Christ embodied. It was his teachings. It was the eternal life that he brought. It was his ways. It was the things he wanted to teach us. It was the scriptures. He's called the Word of God in scripture. And we find him, he said, I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. You know, there's a lot in that right there. But this morning, I want us to think about, I looked up the word truth. Strong says true, truly truth or verity. And Webster says what truth means is conformity to fact or reality, exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. That's what truth is. The truth of history constitutes its whole value. We rely on the truth of the scriptural prophecies. Webster's definition. And so I want us to think this morning a little bit about all those things that the Lord entails. He is the truth, he's the way, and he's the life. And folks, if we try to find that any other way, and we form our own opinions and our own thoughts that are not scriptural, do you know we only hurt ourselves? Whether that is the way, considering who I am, being honest with me, being honest with God's doctrines out of his word, what he says, the things he set forth, those things are truth, aren't they? The best we can do is to look to truth, look to Jesus. Lord, I want to know your thoughts. I want to know your ways. We as people, folks, we will twist and contort and lawyerize. I've never heard that word, but we will take all of those things and we will get them all figured out in every which way. But folks, the Lord wants us to have a heart that is void of offense. He wants to have us to have a heart that is of peace. He wants our lives to be lives that conform to his word. That's the truth this morning. Is that not what the scriptures teach us? Through and through it teaches us that. And I believe when we do that and we find that it is life also. It is eternal life. It is something that wells up in us. If we will live it God's way, And seek him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to do his will first, it'll be in us a well that's welling up into everlasting life. It'll be in us a well that wells up, that feeds many, that waters many. That's what God wants to do in our lives this morning. And so I want to look a little further here in Matthew 16 and 13. To 17, the scriptures say, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, Jesus just asked the same question we ask today. What are men saying? They said, well, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, what would flesh and blood's revelation be? Flesh and blood's revelation might be, you know what, I know one Jesus. See that man over there? He's the Christ. And you know, well, somebody else comes along and it changes their mind. And then they get all confused. But Simon Peter had a different, he had something different. Jesus said, flesh and blood, Peter, didn't reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And you know, this morning, the Lord wants to reveal some things to us. The Lord wants to reveal to us the truths out of His Word. The Lord wants to reveal to us the life that needs to be in our soul. Somebody can tell us, you know what, you get saved, your life changes, God begins to work in your life. You know what, that's not real until it happens in us, is it? That's when it's revealed. And this morning, I just want to encourage every one of us, seek the Lord until He reveals Himself in your life and mine. I want to tell you, when the Lord begins to reveal and work in our lives, things change then, don't they? And so, this is not something that I can pick this book up and go study it out word by word and take it and dissect it and understand it all. I'll end up with my own thoughts about it. But when the Lord begins to reveal His words to us, and when He begins to reveal Himself to us, don't things change then? When He begins to call us away from the world, don't things change then? Somebody can say, don't be a part of the world. Don't go the worldly places. Don't live like they live. But you know what really changes? When the Lord begins to teach us, come a little closer to me. And we just begin to leave that stuff behind. It doesn't fit, does it? But you know what? Those are revelations from the Spirit of the Lord this morning. I can't tell you to do all that stuff and you go do it and be all right with God. But I will tell you, I can maybe help you along the way some by giving you the words of life and some help in that way. But you know, this morning, if we want the revelation of the Lord, we're going to have to seek for it. Otherwise, you know who we are? The same that everybody else is. We justify ourselves. We live however and cover our tracks and all those kind. That's what will happen in the flesh. That's what the world does, isn't it? We defend. But you know what the Lord wants us to do? He wants us to embrace the truth. All the truth. The truth in every way. The truth of the words of life. Otherwise, it gets so crossed and tangled until who knows what it means. And that's where the world is today. But I will tell you what, this morning, the Lord wants to reveal to our hearts some things that can't be taken away then. I believe Simon Peter saw something that, in spite of everything else that happened, he just had to keep saying, this is the Christ. This isn't the only time he did this. You know, in the sixth chapter, I believe it is, of John, he again, you know, we find a revelation there, don't we? And so this morning, the Lord help us to seek truth. Who is Jesus? Do you know that's a matter of great debate today? Everywhere. Who is Jesus? Was Jesus a fictitious character? What was he like? They have all kinds of labels put on Jesus. I'll tell you what I found Jesus to be. He changed my life. And I'll tell you something else he did. He sent his Spirit to dwell in my heart. And he cleaned me up. And he gave me eternal life. And nobody can take that from me. And you know what else he did? He healed me physically, emotionally. As I've said many times, I can't forget it. I remember the very day come down here and I was so ill with sleep apnea, so bad, a severe case, and the Lord just healed me instantly. You know what? Nobody can take that away. That's a divine revelation from the Lord. And the Lord wants to be in our life like that this morning. He wants to teach us and lead us to heaven where somebody can't talk us out of. Well, this Jesus, you know, I want to tell you what happened really in history. And they start telling us, I have to say, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I know this Jesus. You know, you're not going to take him away from me. I know him. I've seen his work. I've witnessed his Spirit's work. I've witnessed his healing. I've witnessed his comfort. I've witnessed his peace. I've seen when he called and you know, something had to be done, embarrassing, maybe, things happen sometimes. And you know what? I've felt the deep peace that only Jesus can give at times like that. Do you know this morning? The Lord wants to be in our lives like that today. It's kind of to the lowly many times because he doesn't dwell in the, Paul was a very educated man. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? Paul had to condescend, didn't he? He had to be struck all the way down to the dirt until he could hear, until he could see only the Lord. So this morning, the Lord help us today. Isaiah 53:1. We find here a prophecy of Jesus. 1-4, Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord excuse me. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He didn't come in such a way that he was in a golden chariot, the finest of everything, the finest clothes, the finest looks and all of that. Jesus didn't come that way, did he? There wasn't any beauty. I seriously doubt he was such a good looking man. But you know what? By the way the scriptures talk. But you know what? It goes on to say, he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. That's what they saw. What's this one coming on a donkey? Where did he come from anyway? Jesus of Nazareth. He's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Well, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Do you know this morning that the Lord, though he was looked upon, it says he was despised, he was a man of sorrow, he carried our sorrows, and we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And that's the way that that's the way the people saw him, many of them. But do you know who he really was? He was the Son of God. All power in heaven and earth was his. Do you know he could have called 12 legions of angels and took care of everything right there at the last? Jesus was able to do that. But the truth was that he was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Even for those people that were looking at him as stricken, as smitten, the truth was Jesus was our healer. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the real Jesus this morning. And so I want to think a little bit more about this revelation of the Lord to us. And then we want to look at some other things also. John 9:21. We find here this man that was blind and born blind. And they ask him, John 9:19, they ask him saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? No, they knew he was born blind. He had been around for all his life. How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. I have a suspicion they knew both of those things. We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore, would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Now, you know, I want to ask you this morning, what was wrong that these people could not see that this was Jesus Christ? What was wrong that they could not see? This man told them what happened. He told them about it. They already knew it before they asked him. They knew only one man could open eyes and do those kind of things. But I believe they had something in their heart, a bend in their heart, that they were unwilling to see truth. Do you know this morning, that is something that is so susceptible to every one of us. We must not have any bends in our heart. We must not have in our heart any things. Jesus said one place, it says he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for what? Envy. And that was what was in their heart. They didn't want this man taking their place. They didn't want what was happening here. Though they knew there's something of God here, they closed their eyes until maybe they believed there wasn't. Do you know this morning? It happens, doesn't it? And so we see this man and these people here not believing, throwing him out of the religious synagogue, not allowing him. Why? Because they saw some greater truth? I don't think so. They had envy in their heart. They had wickedness in their heart. They had their sins to cover instead of confess. And so they were not able to see the Christ. And so here we are up to today. And here those people are. They still had a soul, didn't they? Where are they today? Did they ever make that right? Did they ever come to the place where they said, I know I've done wrong? I suspect many of them went right on. And they went and they sat in their places of authority. And they talked about this man that was hung on the cross. And they went on and they reviled him. And he was despised by them. But the truth was, he was Jesus the Christ, the one that could save their souls. And I hope some of them got saved. Because if so, they're enjoying that today. And so I want to look now at some other things. I know I don't preach this way a lot, but I want to share a few scriptures here that I just feel like the Lord gave me. In John 12 and 35, it says, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? See, we read that a while ago. And here Jesus Jesus was fulfilling this prophecy. Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Do you know, this morning we find an element going through all of this. We find a thread. They loved the praise of men. They envied the Lord for the praise that he received, for the glory that was upon him. And we see here where Jesus told them something very valuable. He said, yet a little while is the light with you. Do you know when the light comes upon our pathway? Whatever that is, that may be a rank sinner that's doing evil deeds every day, and the Lord begins to work with him, as I believe the Lord does with everyone at some time. Do you know the Lord begins to give them dreams maybe? Maybe they come across the gospel and they realize, I need to repent of where I'm at. Or it can be someone right here like us, and the Lord begin to deal with us, and we begin to make our excuses for some reason or other. Or it can be so many other things. It can be position, as some of these chief priests and scribes and different ones had in their lives. And so they love the praise more than the praise of God, the praise of men more than the praise of God. This morning, our life has to be, Lord, would you reveal your life in me? That's something I can't do and no one else can do. That's something that is a transaction between us and God. And then when our soul goes on a search and a hunt for truth in every corner of our life, do you know what the Lord brings to that? We're not talking about getting in some kind of a, here, you do this, 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 and this. Here's your book. We're talking about following the Lord. And you know, when you start following the Lord with all your heart, you know what comes from that? The fruit that comes on a vine, the light that comes in a room, the strength that comes to a soul, the joy that only God can give. Yes, it's a walk. Yes, maybe when we first get saved, there's some things we have to give up. There's some places that maybe we have some persecution, and those things are not all fun, are they? But you know what? As we walk with the Lord and let him into our life, and he says, you see that little attitude you've got there? I want you to give that up. And we say, no, but that's just who I am. That's just how I was raised. And we defend that. And you know what? The Lord, he'll tell us again usually a bunch of times. But eventually, he'll take his light away from us. And we'll be left with that. And that grows, doesn't it? So this morning, I want to encourage us to be children of truth and to walk in the truth, in the light, in the doctrines of God, in his ways, understanding, reading, searching. Lord, what are your truths? I want to know them. I believe that's the way of a Christian, of every Christian should be this morning. In Matthew 15 and 12, we find, folks, the light can go out. And I don't know why the Lord gave me this. I just want to say to all of us this morning, I wasn't trying to get it up. I know this is not makes everybody feel wonderful always, but In 15 and 12, let's read this. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Do you know that there is a reason why people fall into the ditch of sin, of self, of false doctrines, of all those things this morning? It is because they be blind leaders of the blind. And so this morning, we must be children of the light. That's not something anyone else can give you, and you don't get it by coming here. You get it by those transactions with God. Lord, lead me in your truth. We find it all through David's writings. Lord, teach me your way and show me your paths. And we find his heart longing and searching after God himself. And we find the Lord teaching him his ways, don't we? If our gospel be hid, folks, 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now how did they get blinded? How are they not able to see what is so obvious? Because they're blind. And how are they blinded? Because the God of this world is who they're worshiping. Do you know this morning, that doesn't come down to just somebody way out yonder. It comes down to you and me. Who am I worshiping this morning? And are my full devotions to the Lord? Lord, I want to serve you. I want you to show me your ways. I want you, Lord, to work in my life on whatever you want to deal with me on. I want that and that alone. Do you know that is the life of a Christian this morning? And so if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do you know that makes it possible for the Lord to shine unto us when we search for the truth and we allow truth into our life, when we respond to God this morning? And so I just want to think about those things. I see Peter. I see him following the Lord closely. I see him not falling out after the Lord said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And then everybody says, I don't understand that. I'm gone. You know, Peter wanted to go to heaven. He believed this was the Christ. He had seen it. He knew this was the Christ. And it wasn't going to be taken away from him. Do you know this morning, the Lord saves his revelations for those that love him supremely in their lives. And that's who he reveals to this morning. Now, all others that make excuses and all those things, to some degree, there might be a little of something there that the Lord wants to work with us on. But folks, if we blind our eyes and we hide our heart from the Lord, we will soon find ourselves justifying anything. Anything. Is this true? I know it's true. Anything this morning. And so God help us. And so we can do that through religion. We can do that through the flesh. We can, there's just hundreds of ways that the devil and people dream up of how to do that. How were these people blinded? Because they love something more than God this morning. I want to say a little more before we dismiss. And I don't like mentioning these scriptures, but they're scriptures and they're given of God. And they're heavy, and I want to mention them here this morning because I believe the Lord gave them to me. You know, in Isaiah 66 and 4, it tells us here, Isaiah 66 and 4, he says, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. Now, folks, we might think of that as somebody out yonder. But when the Lord deals with us about our attitudes, our spirit, our ways, our life, it's a time for us to listen. I don't see God as one ready to chop people off. I see Him as one that forever, He cast His mercy to us. How merciful has He been to all of us here? Unbelievably so. But folks, we don't want to spurn His mercy and count on His mercy and take the way of the flesh. You know, it says here, I also will choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Now, the reason they did that evil might just simply be because the lust of their flesh. And it might also be that in religion itself, they justify the evil. It happens every day all around us, and I meet it all the time. Do you know this morning, the Lord wants us to be children of the light, children of truth, children in whose hearts is the Spirit of the Lord, children in whose hearts love the ways of God and do all we can. Lord, would You use my life? Lord, is there any reason You can't use my life? I want You to deal with me. I want You to work with me this morning. I want to read another place or two or so. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11. Like I say, I know I don't preach this way very often, but folks, I'm going to give you what the Lord gave me. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11, it says, and for this cause, well, we'll start at 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, that's where we err, when we have pleasure in things that we know God has no pleasure in. Then we are open to be deceived. Then we are open, and we can justify it for a thousand reasons. I'm human. We can justify it because, well, that's the way God made me. We can justify it away. But what we ought to be doing is, Lord, here am I, and I am who I am, and I want You to have Your way in my life. That's a transaction, as we say, between You and God this morning. So he said, for this cause, because they received not a love for the truth, but rather a love for unrighteousness. Don't ever let it be so. Young folks, I want to encourage you this morning. I know we preach a lot of positive too, but listen, don't love unrighteousness. Pray to God to help your heart be tender, to help your heart not to be deceived, not to find itself 30 years down the road and not even know I'm approaching, or 50 years down the road, I'm approaching my end and I think everything is well because I loved unrighteousness. And it's not. So the Lord bless each one of us this morning that we might be ready. Now let's look on a little bit farther here. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Do you know this morning, the scriptures tell us that great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. all this morning, let's look to God for that great peace that He puts within a soul and that He'll give to every one of us as we serve the Lord this morning. God, help us each one to make heaven our home, to work with the Lord, to open our lives and our hearts to Him, that we might see, that there might be light on our pathway this morning. You all pray for me too. Amen.